Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today I want to talk about reasons for divorce, different reasons, and we've talked about this in other podcasts, but the reason today's is going to be different is that I want to get the perspective of a family law attorney. So I have one of my favorite guests on here, Anna Krolikowska. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
As always, it's wonderful to have you, Anna. Anna is a 15-year veteran as a divorce attorney. She's also the Illinois State Bar Association president, something that always impresses me.
Thank you.
And I wanted to get Anna's stories. So Anna is going to talk about some of the reasons people get divorced, common reasons, but then she's going to give you like a legal perspective. We'll talk about the reason, and then Anna will talk about what typically she sees and how the divorce goes typically when that's the reason for the divorce. So maybe if one of these reasons that we talk about is your reason for getting divorced, you'll get a really good sense and a good consultation from such a reputable divorce attorney. When people walk in, do they tell you the reason they're getting divorced right away, or does it not come up? Like, is that important in how you approach the case?
So it depends. Sometimes they will share that right at the beginning. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to develop a rapport and for them to confirm for themselves that I'm the right attorney with whom they want to work. But it does help to know what the reason is. Not necessarily all of the details, throughout your marital history. But if your concern is financial problems or addiction, the approach might be different than if it's drifting apart as a couple or a communications breakdown. So it can help for me to know the dynamics of it.
Mm-hmm. And you just seem like such a lovely person, meaning you would not dig and make people uncomfortable, but they need to share enough that you can do your job effectively.
Yes, and I would never make someone uncomfortable or dig, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. But I do have a gift, and that's building rapport with people and making sure they feel comfortable sharing sensitive information with me, ensuring or letting them know that it will remain with me. It's confidential, regardless whether they choose to hire me or not as their attorney, and it can help. And to the extent the information is important and might help in their case, we would talk about disclosing anything. So it's always with the mindset of what is helpful to the client and what do they feel comfortable with.
It probably takes a lot of vulnerability for people to open up. Do they start crying? Do you ever hear people say, you know, I really don't want to go into detail? Like, tell me about that.
All of it. I mean, some clients don't want to go into detail. It is absolutely very common for people to start crying and you know, human emotions. I will reassure them and let them know that, one, it's okay. This is not easy for any of us. It's not, frankly, it's not easy for the attorneys, and we're the ones who are helping you with this process. It's certainly not easy for you. So make sure that you allow yourself the time to grieve, to process emotions in a productive way or in a way that is best for you. So that way they don't sneak up on you unexpectedly. Let's put it that way.
And I also always recommend to people to go to therapy and or get a divorce coach, both.
Definitely. The support can make a significant difference, not just in terms of how you experience or go through the divorce process, but your outcome.
Right. 100%. And for good resources as to therapists and divorce coaches, you can go to divorcegirlsmiling.com and find some good ones. Okay, let's get into it, Anna. Possible reasons for divorce. So Anna wrote an article on Divorce Girl Smiling called 7 Reasons for Divorce, each unique but all painful. And I'm going to list the reasons and then let Anna talk about the reason and then how the divorce might be approached from a legal perspective when she hears that that's the reason. Sound good, Anna?
Sure.
The first reason for divorce that you wrote was financial problems. And I've always heard that financial problems are the number one reason people get divorced, the most common. Do you think that's true?
Unfortunately, yes. And we even see that in statistics. And not to bring too much math into this, but at a time similar to now, when we're dealing with financial difficulties overall in our country and in our world, we see more divorce cases being filed. This also was true in 2008 when we were going through, again, financial difficulties in our country, because often financial problems will be an added stressor that will exacerbate other existing concerns or issues. And if we're going to talk about money, we all have a story around money, right? We grew up in a family that dealt with money a certain way. We were an individual prior to becoming married and also created certain stories or ways in which we handled money. So whether it's related to how we earn or spend or save money, that can often be a very big pressure point.
So how do you approach a divorce when financial issues are the reason?
It depends on a number of factors. So for example, if the concern is we have less money coming in now than we did before, for example, someone lost their job, it will impact the way we're looking at support questions. It will impact potentially the way we're allocating assets. And there are certain ways that a judge would resolve those questions through a trial and litigated process versus what clients can do and have done, in my experience, in mediated or collaborative divorce cases, which allow them greater flexibility and greater control as to what agreements they want to reach that work for their family under their specific circumstances.
Yes, I know you're a huge fan of mediation and collaborative divorce versus litigation. And I think you have a great point when it comes to finances. You don't want a judge making decisions about who gets what, who gets how much. If you go to mediation or you have a collaborative divorce, you have a say in your settlement. So you get to be part of that process, correct?
Yes, to a greater extent, because a judge is limited to what the statute allows him or her to do. But if you and your spouse agree to do something different, you have that control, that ability to do that. Not every case is suited for mediation or collaborative process. There might be cases where you need the judge to give you a decision. My goal is to educate my clients or people who contact me about their process options. So that means litigation, mediation, or collaborative, so they can make an informed decision from the get-go, from the start, rather than land in a process without knowing exactly what their options are.
Yes. Okay, moving on to number 2 of reasons you hear people are getting divorced when they come see you. Number 2, addiction. A serious issue that can become dangerous. Maybe it's addiction to alcohol or drugs, gambling, sex, anything. So how do you handle a divorce when somebody comes in and says, my husband is a drug addict and I need to get out of the marriage?
That's a serious concern. And a lot depends on the process and the specific facts, right? Because if we're dealing with a situation where litigation is the only option, where there are concerns about safety of the children, then your approach is different. You're potentially pursuing emergency orders of protection or asking for supervised visitation with the children with the goal of protecting the kids and doing what's in their best interest. But if we're talking about someone who's in treatment and therapy, and the couple chooses to utilize collaborative process, and we have a coach involved who's helping us craft agreements that take into account the kid's safety first, but also allowing for access to the other parent, the parents are able to come up with agreements that keep in mind the best interest of the children, but they are potentially different than what the litigated process might look like. Big component of any of these points is going to be what process are we using?
Now, Anna, is it possible to have a collaborative divorce or mediation with addiction, or do those usually go to litigation?
I've seen cases that were successfully handled using collaborative process, but I've also seen cases that went to litigation.
Do you think it's worth a try, even with addiction, to exploring collaborative and/or mediation before you go to litigation?
A lot will depend on your specific circumstances, but I would say talk to an attorney who is knowledgeable with all three and can talk to you and explain your options. Of course, if we're dealing with a situation where there's an immediate safety concern and there is no other option but an emergency order of protection, then you will pursue that route. But if you can gather the information fairly quickly before you commit, then at least ask.
And I would like to add that Anna is qualified to do that if you're considering calling her.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay, next reason for divorce. This is way on the other end of the spectrum, drifting apart as the years go by and the children get launched.
Yes, that's absolutely a very common reason why people will come to see me. It's often combined with our next reason for divorce, communications breakdown, but let's stick with drifting apart.
Okay.
We often get so wrapped up with being parents and putting our kids first, which is wonderful from the perspective of making sure that our kids are taken care of and doing well. But we often forget to make time for ourselves as a couple or sacrifice that time because there are so many things calling for our attention. Kids, work, especially in the midst of the pandemic. If we look at statistics, families with kids were very much impacted by what has been going on over the last 2 years, and especially the primary caregivers, in many instances, women, where millions of women have left the workforce. And I point that out to suggest that as much as we want to take care of our children, to the extent that we forgo or drift apart as a couple, that can often become very evident when the kids are launched, when they go to college or are independent, and then the couple will realize that unfortunately their relationship suffered.
Well, I think you're right. And that the next thing on this list was reason for divorce was communication breakdown. And that is kind of part of this whole thing, as you said. So what's the approach in divorce? Do you find that couples who are getting divorced for this reason are sort of almost amicable because they've kind of known for a while, or is there a lot of bitterness and one wants it and one doesn't and one wants to work on the marriage or something like that?
Jackie, you nailed it both. The couples that are more amicable, that recognize that their communication suffered and there has been a breakdown, will in many instances use collaborative process or mediation. and through those can remain more amicable. And ironically, in a number of cases, I have seen clients improve their communication as they're divorcing, especially if there are kids involved and they're trying to improve their co-parenting relationship. On the other end of the spectrum, I have seen cases where it's a very bitter, very contentious process because maybe one of the spouses does not acknowledge that there is a breakdown, that there is a need, or that their spouse is asking for a divorce or pursuing a divorce. And it becomes a protracted litigated process because the emotional needs are not addressed, or because the spouses don't have the ability or the opportunity to have their say. Because in a litigated process, you truly don't get that. And if you do, it would be at the very end of a lengthy process.
A lengthy, expensive process.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so I was thinking as you were answering this, that if it is like a real contentious case, one person is still in denial and wants to just keep everything the same. But then one person is like, okay, the kids are gone. I've never known how to talk to you. I'm out of here. So, you know, I could see that becoming a very tense issue with one really bitter person and one person really wanting out, or both people just being like, you know what, let's just call this what it is. We're both unhappy and let's get divorced.
I have seen both.
Right. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. And we're talking about reasons for divorce from a legal perspective. Number five is one of the most difficult reasons, I would think, in a divorce: mental health issues. So, Anna, ever see cases like this, and how are they handled?
Yes, absolutely. I have seen cases like this. And the answer here will be very similar to the answer regarding addiction. It will depend on where this person is and what process we use. Because if the person is in therapy and treatment, is willing to engage in the process, again, especially if we're using collaborative process, and I mention that because there's that support system in collaborative process, we're able to bring in a coach who can assist with the process and help the couple figure out what safeguards we can put in place so that they come up with an agreement that works for them and feels safe to them, especially if there are kids involved. But if we're dealing with someone who is either not in treatment or is in denial or has not been diagnosed or is non-medication compliant, and it's a litigated process, again, it will become a protracted, lengthy process where the person pursuing a divorce will feel like they're fighting a battle.
That is so sad. I cannot even imagine how hard that would be.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving on to number six, co-parenting disagreements. So do you ever see people get divorced because they just don't parent the same way and they think the other one is on a planet, on a
different
planet?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And it gets to a point where they cannot communicate about this. There are just two polar opposites, and they realize that they cannot keep going forward with the way things are. Now, with this one, I want you to keep in mind that once you're divorced, this other person isn't all of a sudden going to change the way they parent. So if you are going through a litigated process, again, you will be limited to what a judge is able to order based on what the statute, and I keep saying the statute, it's the Illinois Marriage and Dissolution of Marriage Act. That's the big statute that governs all marriages and divorces in Illinois.
Okay.
But the judge will be limited to what he or she can do to what the statute allows them to do. You and your spouse are able to make different agreements. A lot here will depend on what the spouses are willing to do.
Okay, got it. The next reason you wrote, feeling a sudden sense of needing a change. which basically I interpret as the midlife crisis. So somebody basically wakes up, wants to change his or her life, fear they're getting older, something's missing, and it sort of happens within like a, you know, a few months maybe. So either the person comes to see you because they're getting a divorce and they're the one with the midlife crisis, or their spouse did. So what typically happens in that scenario?
A lot will depend on the relationship they have had. And by that, I mean, if their communication is pretty good and they're able to have the conversation about what's happening, even though it might be painful and difficult and unexpected, the person who is being asked for a divorce might be more inclined to use collaborative process or mediation, which would be gentler and overall would allow them to have more control. And in my experience, a more positive process and outcome. But if someone is still reeling from shock and is having a really difficult time processing this and dealing with this, it might be that this couple ends up in a litigated process. And through that, it will depend on what happens during that process. In a litigated process, we know that majority of litigated cases settle. The question is, where on the timeline of the case do they settle? Most will settle close to trial, which means that significant amount of time and money would have been spent on that case already.
Okay, now, Anna, I have a question. Tell me, do you help people determine which process is better, is the best for them? Because if I was listening to this, my question would be, well, she keeps talking about, you know, mediation, litigation, collaborative. How do I know if I can do that? Do you find that when clients come to see you, it just sort of happens naturally? Like you tell them your opinion, maybe you try it and then go to litigation. Like, tell me how much you're involved in helping them choose the process.
What a great question, Jackie. So in my initial consultation, I talk to every single client about all their process options. And by talk, I mean, we go into detail about positive and negative aspects. I ask them questions about their dynamic and their relationship with their spouse in terms of communication and financial information sharing. And I help them ask questions so that they can, one, understand their options, and two, figure out which processes or process appeals to them. Now, keep in mind that with collaborative divorce and mediation, they can put those as options to their spouse, but their spouse has to decide that they would like to agree to use those processes. You cannot get a judge to order you to use collaborative process.
Right.
You generally would either choose to undergo private mediation, or if you're in a litigated process, a judge can order you in Illinois to at least attempt mediation on the issues of what used to be called custody and visitation, now parenting decision making and parenting time. But other than that, the judge would not order you to undergo mediation.
Right. Right. So there's so many factors that go into it, but it's good to know that they can consult with you and you help guide them into what you think might be the best way to start out.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go to the last reason for divorce that you wrote for this article, and people are probably wondering where it is because they're waiting. Emotional and physical and or physical affairs. So perhaps the most intensely painful reason for divorce, with the most bitterness, the most resentment, the most shock, the most hurt. Not that all the reasons, other reasons aren't all those things, but there's something about those things that probably drives people to a more intense level of.
It hits them on a very deep emotional level. It's difficult to process. It's a betrayal of trust. And right. It can have significant and long-term impact, not just on the outcome of the divorce process, but on the person involved or people involved. And yes, there have been marriages which recovered or are able to recover from emotional or physical affairs. And generally, those have worked quite intensely and intensively with therapists or mental health professionals to help them. But then there are those couples who are unable to recover and ultimately decide to divorce.
So sad. But what do you see happen when couple, you know, somebody comes in and says, my wife cheated or I cheated and now we're getting divorced? Do you feel like the mediation and collaborative process could still be options, or are these people just at the point where they want to battle it out?
It will depend on the couple and which process they choose. Yes, collaborative process or mediation can still be options. And keep in mind that especially with collaborative, you have the possibility or the option of the support of coaches who can help us process the emotions so that we can show up for our conversations related to kids or money in a way that many of my clients described as, you know, I feel stronger working through this process because I feel like I'm not falling apart every single time we're talking about these details because I'm still mourning the relationship and I'm angry. So the support is there and can definitely help. In a litigated process, you don't necessarily have that additional support, but unfortunately, in a litigated process, a judge cannot really take into account the affair where it comes to dividing assets, unless marital money was spent for non-marital purposes.
Like hotel rooms, vacations, things like that.
Trips, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Anna, you really know what you're talking about. You're so experienced. You're so knowledgeable. I feel like you, because you're a mom, you're married, you understand the dynamics of a marriage and being a parent. And that's really important, you know, because I would think when hiring a divorce attorney, you have to look at somebody who has compassion too and like understands parenting and marriage and everything that goes into it. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, Anna. I really enjoy having you on here and talking to you.
Thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate being able to talk with you, and I hope that our conversation is helpful to your listeners.
Oh, without a doubt it is. And if anybody wants to learn more about Anna, her name of her firm is Anna K Law. So it's AnnaKLaw.com. And you can also find her and her other articles and podcasts on divorcegirlsmiling.com. And I want to leave everybody with one more piece of advice. So basically, Anna and I just talked about different reasons people get divorced. And regardless of the reasons that people get divorced, the emotions, the pain, the fear, the anger, the confusion, the resentment, the heartbreak, it's there with whatever reason you're getting divorced. It's there. And I want to tell you that I am here for you. Anna is here for you. Divorce Girl Smiling, articles, podcasts, we are here to empower you, to educate you, to inspire you, to connect you with other women and men going through divorce. And I want to tell you, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through it. That might sound like, oh yeah, you have no idea, but I do have an idea because I went through it. And it really is going to turn out okay. And it's going to turn out better than okay because you have a great life ahead of you if you make good choices and you're patient and you have some faith. So with that said, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon.